The Toledo Bar Association First Gen Lawyers podcast shares conversations with established first generation attorneys. We are fortunate to have many accomplished lawyers and judges in Toledo who were the first in their family to attend college or law school. Join us to hear how our colleagues overcame obstacles and what they learned along the way.
All right. Hello, everybody listening. We are back with the next installment of the First Gen podcast. I am Carl Strauss, senior counsel over at Owens Corning, and I am joined by my co-host, Noah Woods.
Hello. My name is Noah Woods. I'm a graduating law student from the University of Toledo College of Law.
And today we are pleased to welcome in Kyle Silvers, an attorney in town, for a wonderful conversation. So welcome, Kyle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
And you and I have known each other for a little bit.
A long time.
I think this is going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, and I'm excited to get to know you. I know you have your own law practice, so excited to learn how you got into that. I know that's something that I'm interested in, so it seems a bit daunting, though, how you get into that. And so I'm excited to learn more.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll turn the mic over to you for a little bit. You can give us a little bit of a general background about yourself, and then we'll jump into our conversation, which we hope that law students and younger attorneys, but also seasoned professionals, find interesting.
Sure. Well, you tell me what you need, but my name is Kyle Silvers, of course. As Noah just mentioned, I'm a solo practitioner. However, I kind of have the best of both worlds. I'm in a group with 24 other attorneys, so it's like the benefits of a practice without the downside of a practice. My undergraduate degree is in journalism. I have a master's in healthcare administration, and of course, a JD from the University of Toledo College of Law.
Go Rockets.
Go Rockets. So with that, you know, with your journalism degree, your master's in healthcare administration, was law school an inevitability for you or something that popped up during your studies?
No, I had always been interested in law school. This is probably a sad commentary. I took the LSAT twice, not that I didn't pass it. I passed it both times, but I was so daunted at the thought of going to law school that it apparently expires after a certain point. You have to retake the LSAT. So it was always in the back of my mind, but I didn't act on it till I was old.
And so what were your parents' background? I'm assuming they weren't in the legal profession at all? Or?
No, I'm a first gen times two. Neither of them attended college, not for lack of ability or acumen, but they didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah, mine as well. And I know that the application process into law school was just it was a maze of its own, really, and the LSAT was something that kind of was very surprising to me, navigating all of that.
So. Yes, mm-hmm. It was. The logic, et cetera, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So thinking about taking the LSAT, having to do it twice, and then making the decision to go to school, what did you enjoy most about your law school experience and the least?
What I enjoyed the most was, and I don't mean to disparage my undergraduate education, but law school requires that you think. You're not hand-fed the information. You have to figure it out on your own. If you don't know something, it's not spoon-fed. You have to look it up. What I liked the least, probably, was because I went at night. I worked all day and went at night. And sometimes the professors were not altogether understanding that you had just worked a 12-hour day and then were there for class or might even be running late.
So we've had some other guests that have attended the night program for their law school experience. And so I think perhaps maybe dive into a little bit maybe how the idea of being a first-gen law student maybe shaped your idea of wanting to do the night program and also what you thought maybe as a first-gen potential attorney, how that shaped your view of what a law degree could provide.
Okay. Multi-part question there, Carl.
Yes.
What I thought a law degree could provide, and this sounds rather trite, but it's true, I thought a law degree could afford me two things, the opportunity to think and the opportunity to be of service. I was at that time a vice president of a corporation, so I did that all day and then went to law school at night. And law school was my idea of fun. So...
I just want to pause on that. You said that you were the vice president of a corporation, but you wanted a job that you could think in? That's
I don't know what that says now. Yes.
That's impressive. So I was curious, your background in journalism, did you do any kind of like journalistic writing after that? Or
yes. As I said, my undergrad was in news editorial journalism. Upon graduating from Bowling Green State University, I worked for about a year at the Findlay Courier, where I covered county government, which also, of course, fomented my interest in law. My dad died. My mom wasn't doing too well, so I moved back to Toledo. Took a job in corporate communications, first at Owens Corning and then subsequently at St. Charles Hospital, and then worked my way up through the Mercy system until I was eventually a vice president of family health plan.
Wow. Very impressive.
Yeah. You know, I love that background. I think, you know, sometimes for my, you know, I went to law school straight out of college, did the day program, you know, pushed through. I think sometimes there's really a benefit to having some level of work experience while you're in school, and it helps shape what your interest is going to be.
It shapes what your interest is going to be, and there's also, let's be realistic, the consideration that you're paying for it yourself. So you're working all day, and then you're going to law school, and you're paying for it. And I was also getting my master's simultaneously. So you're cognizant of the fact that you better do okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas not that younger people or people whose educations are paid for by their parents are not, but it's incumbent upon you to get it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, one thing for me is, as a law student that seemed very daunting was having your own law practice and getting that started and how that can actually happen. And so you're a first generation law student. You've had some practical work experience that's probably helped shape your practice. But could you share maybe for the audience, you know, some of the hurdles that come with opening your own practice, some of the opportunities that come with your opening your own practice, and sort of how your perspective as a first-time law student shaped the practice groups you kind of focused on?
Sure. I was initially with a couple of firms before going out on my own, so I had that background. And quite frankly, I didn't probably give it the level of thought that I should have, but the firm I was with was beginning to dissolve and people were leaving, so I thought, okay, the firm will soon cease to be in existence, so I need to do something. And I had a friend in the building where I'm at now. He said, come on over. I did. I had to, of course, budget for assistance, for malpractice coverage, etc. But I'm a little spoiled because, as I said, there are 25 of us, so if I have a DR question or a criminal question, I can go down the hall and someone's willing to help. But it is unnerving, and I am not married, so I have one income, so I better make sure I can support myself and a house full of animals. So,
yeah, I'm curious if you could explain a little more, because I haven't heard about this. I'm not too familiar. Like, what is the arrangement where you have your own practice, but you're kind of under an umbrella of other solo practitioners?
We're independent contractors. It's called Legal Associates. Each of us is our own LLC. And we just share office space. We share the receptionist, we share office space, we pay overhead, but otherwise, unlike a firm, we're not in any way responsible for someone else's potential malpractice, we're not responsible for someone else's income, we're responsible only for ourselves.
Okay, so you have a lot more autonomy of like what kind of law you do and everything?
Absolutely.
Oh, excellent.
Which comes with a downside, but yes, you are fully autonomous.
Okay.
With that autonomy, though, you mentioned some of the benefits that come with being part of a group, and I think what I heard is sort of fostering connections with other legal professionals.
Absolutely.
And how that can be, kind of talk about how that can be of a really strong benefit for somebody, especially younger in their career.
I can't emphasize that enough, because even though I wasn't 25 when I graduated from law school, I knew no one. I didn't have any family members who were attorneys. I didn't have any friends at that moment who were attorneys, and I had no clue what to do, where to go, whom to affiliate with. TBA has been an incredible asset to me in that regard, but I was clueless, utterly clueless. And some would say.
How did you inform yourself past the cluelessness?
Trial and error. I ended up going to a firm that was a really bad decision because one of the partners stole money, and I ended up in litigation over that. I then went into practice with one other person, and then subsequently went to a larger firm, and that's the firm that I mentioned that was eventually dissolving, and I left there to form Silver's Law LLC.
So as I'm about to graduate from law school, and I know with some of my peers I've talked about ultimately the desire to open your own practice, but it seems like there's a hesitancy to do it immediately out of law school, and I think it seems like the general advice is go and get some experience of learning how to be a lawyer first. So do you think that's a pretty good bit of advice?
I think that's essential, because every so often I'll encounter someone who has come directly out of law school, hung their own shingle, and has utterly no clue what they're doing. So I think we would all benefit from an association with other attorneys, be it in a firm and certainly through the TBA.
So kind of on that realm of kind of learning how to be a lawyer, is there one thing that you think a current student should do during their time to prep to be ready on day one if they did want to hang their own shingle?
Yes, not to tout TBA. I know I keep doing that. I'm on the board, but I'm very, very supportive of TBA. I joined TBA. I've yet to encounter anyone who wasn't supportive if I called with a question. You acquaint yourself. The first firm I was with, one of the partners took me around and introduced me to all the judges. That was invaluable. Took me through the courthouse. Here's where you file. We didn't have electronic filing at that point. Yes, I'm really old. And who do you need to talk to for this, for that, for whatever? So, yes, I would encourage doing whatever you can to network, to associate yourself with other attorneys in some capacity, and don't be reluctant to reach out for help.
So I know you mentioned you had some animals at home, and has that influenced your love of animals, your law career at all? Or?
Oh, yes. I'm a foster mom, and then I have my own that we don't need to get into the numbers of, and I was the founder and first chair of the Animal Law Committee of the Ohio State Bar Association. I am the legal advisor to Pet Peace of Mind, legal advisor to the Ohio Animal Network, and for a time I served as the prosecutor for the cruelty cases for the Wood County Humane Society.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point, because having other interests outside of just your day-to-day work, I think, is important, but it also can shape where you kind of navigate yourself to in your career. So,
absolutely.
You know, whether it's animals or something else, it's always important to remember, like, keep those other interests alive, because it can be really important for you.
That's true, and my practice now is primarily health law. And that's somewhat serendipitous, because I mentioned I had been vice president of Family Health Plan. As a result, I knew a lot of physicians. When I went into practice, be it at a firm or on my own, they followed me. They then started calling me with prospective med-mal cases of patients who had had a mishap under someone else's treatment. So people have said, how odd, you can't represent both physicians and patients. Yes, I can. Obviously, I'm not suing my own clients, but it's physicians who started the med mal route, and that's all because of the background I had in healthcare administration.
Wow. Yeah. It's very interesting to me how the people's interest, even if, you know, they inform what you do, but also they can really, like, provide, I'm sure you've gained a lot of valuable knowledge from your background in healthcare that informs the work that you do.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. And I still have some of those contacts.
Yeah.
If I have a question specific to healthcare.
So. Mm.
Yeah. Very nice. So I think we're probably coming to a close. We try to end with a little more of a fun question. And so one thing that I like to think about, too, and as far as innovation and just, like, continuous improvement, is what have I learned since the last time I've done something? So is there something in 2024 that you've learned that you hadn't known before, whether it's personal or professional?
Oh, I learn every day. That's another of the components that is so important to me about law. Every day I'm looking up a case. Before I came over this morning, I was working on product liability. I learned more about particular rules governing product liability than I probably ever wished I wanted to know. I learn doing medical malpractice. I learn about different surgeries every day. Through the TBA, I learn about what other people do every day, which is very interesting. My personal life is comprised, as I mentioned, primarily of animals. So I'm always learning about them. I just took in a golden retriever who had escaped from a puppy mill. So we've been working through his issues. As you probably know, puppy mill dogs have a lot of fears, understandably. So that occupies my time when I'm not practicing.
That's excellent. Yeah, I went to Montessori school as a kid, and the motto is kind of like, to live is to learn. So yeah. I definitely agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, well, I think that probably wraps us up here. But Kyle, thank you so much. This was really informative and enjoyable, and I hope you felt the same.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
Thanks so much.
This podcast is brought to you by the Toledo Bar Association and is funded through a generous grant from the Toledo Law Association.